Can you talk about, I know you guys weren't able to run the ball too effectively against them the first time around. It's going to be the key to maybe getting that going. You guys got these two dynamic backs for you all season. How do you get that going?
You got to stay on the field. I mean, we only got 17 carries last time, so I don't think we got much of an opportunity to get it going. We had a couple good looks in the game. You don't get many of those going against us. It's an eight-man front 98% of the time with their cover three or their man coverage, so it's always a challenge to run the ball versus that. But when you do get your opportunity, you got to hit. We didn't do a good job staying on the field the first game. Got a little behind in the downs early in the game, and when you do that, it's hard to get the runs. They're not a team you can just come out and just hammer down their throat. I mean, it's an eight-man front every play. You got to go on long drives. You got to do good on third down, and over the course of the game, you'll get your carries. But if you get behind in that down on distance or behind in the score and stuff, it's real tough to do. But I think we've had a good week of practice, and hopefully the game will give us a chance to do that.
Cam Chancellor definitely affects, you know, as a run stopper.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's one of the best. He's been at to prove that over the last his entire career. So he's a challenge, and those other 10 guys are very good too. So, I mean, they're not an easy team to run the ball against, but as always, you want to try to stay balanced because it makes things a lot easier on your players when you do.
Last week you had some opportunities to talk to some teams about head coaching jobs. What's the process now as far as contact with them and your fantasy?
Oh, that was easy. The easy as far as when you get the bye week and you get that extra time off. You know, we got Friday and Saturday off as a coaching staff, or the whole building did. So I just dedicated that Friday and Saturday or two off days to the interviews. Got to do three of them, and really haven't done one thing in that area or talked to anybody in that area since Saturday afternoon. So Saturday night watching the Seahawks, and from Sunday morning till now and until Saturday night after the game, it's been 100% Seattle.
That's how the rules work. You won't be in contact with them until after this game.
I'm not even sure, to tell you the truth, exactly what the rules are, but I haven't been too worried about it because it's not an option for me anyways. I mean, we're totally locked into this game this week, and there's really zero else on our mind.
What are some of the attributes that Matt has that put him in such a good position to be successful?
I think there's tons of different types of leaders, but, you know, to me, a leader is someone who just doesn't fail. And I think Matt's that type of guy. When he faces adversity, he's going to figure out how to make it work. And, we had some up and down times last year, the entire offense. And from starting in January, I mean, he was obsessed with getting better and fixing everything and trying to get better. And he does that year round. And I think it's paid off this year so far, from early on in the season till now. And he's never the same. And I don't think anyone is. You're always getting better or worse. And Matt is always continually trying to get better, and he finds a way.
Do you feel like he's progressed since last spring?
I think a ton, just like everybody does. I mean, the more reps people do, the more situations they're in. When you have a guy who is like that and the type of personality he has, I mean, he's always going to get better until his body someday doesn't allow him to. But the way his character works, and he always has had the talent since he got drafted, so everyone knows that. But when you got that type of mindset, it's tough not to continue to improve.
Dan said that Taylor Gabriel is more than just a utility guy. You obviously had previous history with him. At what point when he got here, or I guess was there a point when he got here where you knew, you know, this was going to be a player that we could use?
I knew that in OTAs working with him in Cleveland. I mean, Taylor's a very good receiver, and we got him in a tryout camp. He had a really good college career. I think he's like the all-time yardage leader at Abilene Christian, so he's always been a good player. But when we got him in the tryout camp, and we knew on his college tape how tough he was, you know, anytime you got a smaller guy, you want to see if they can handle the hits and stuff, and he can. One thing, he's tough, but two, I mean, pound for pound, he's a very strong person. That's why he doesn't go down very easily, his lower half and his upper body. He is strong, and Taylor's developed in all of his routes. He can run the routes. He's not just a gadget guy, so the only thing people can say negative about Taylor is his height, but when you have everything else, I think his height's an advantage. It allows you to be quicker, allows you to have your feet under you, and I mean, there's not anything, a run play, a route that we wouldn't hesitate to put Taylor on.
In that vein, with Taylor, you spend the offseason scheming, you spend training camp scheming with a group of guys, and then he becomes available there in early September. What did you have to change? How do you integrate him so well like you guys did?
It's not hard. It's easy. I mean, when you got a guy who can do a little bit of everything, I mean, you always want to use your guy's best attributes. And when you're faster than most of the people you're going against and quicker, those are the things you're going to lean towards. If that's all you can do, eventually defenses know how to play you. So Taylor can do the other stuff too. So that's what allows him to have some continued success as the year goes. But we look at that with every player we use, not just the receivers, but the tight ends, the running backs. If not everyone is not everyone is Julio, where you can do everything. But, you know, as long as you have a specific trait, an NFL trait, where we think we could feature it, usually there's a time in the game or a time on the field where coverage dictates that, and we try our hardest to put those guys in those positions, and they've done a great job of coming through in those areas, and Matt's done a great job of going to the right people at the right time.
How do you best describe, I guess, what the Mac effect has been on the offensive line, and what one guy in the middle, how his presence affects everyone else along the line?
It's huge. You know, everyone knows Mac's a very good player, and he has been his whole career. You know, we did a lot to get him here, but, you know, I'll always say this to people. I mean, you can never do too much to get a guy who is the type of person Mac is. Everyone knows he's a great player, but what takes him to a next level is how he comes to work each day, how important it is to him. I mean, every play and every game means the world to Mac, and it's just something that he naturally has. Football is very important to him. The guys gravitate around that. They respect him, whether he talks or not. And he has his times where he's vocal and his times where he's not. But just the way he goes about his process every single day. And he was his exact same way in Cleveland, even when things weren't going good. So that's just who he is. He doesn't have to be up or down. And he's also extremely intelligent. So he can handle all the calls. He can handle changing the snap count up. And those are things that add a calmness to the overall offense. You know, the quarterback doesn't have to worry about it as much. The coaches don't. We can let Mac take care of a lot of that. And where do you spend your time? And when a quarterback or a coach doesn't have to worry about that stuff as much, you can spend it in other areas, and I think it helps you get better in other spots.
How does the versatility of having so many weapons on offense make this offense so prolific?
It just allows you to do things the right way. I mean, you don't have to force stuff. You can just see what the defenses are doing and attack it. You know, you're not always in that situation. Sometimes you want to attack something, but you just don't have the right situation where you think you can win there. And you don't, like I said earlier, you don't have to have all Julios, but if you got to have guys who do certain things great and you can put them in those situations, and it's about spreading the field out and seeing what the defense does. And if you got a quarterback who can recognize that, and you got O-linemen and stuff where you can change some plays up and do things at the line, it puts us in a very advantageous situation and allows you to get through injuries too. So we've been fortunate with that this year so far. But when we have had it, guys have stepped up, and it's not just guys stepping up. They've all had the ability to step up too.
Taylor's been giving out some of his Turbo Taylor t-shirts. Do you have
one of those? Yes, he gave me one.
I haven't
got that one yet. I'm very disappointed about it. I actually gave it to my wife. It was more like a belly shirt. If I lifted my arms up, show my belly, so I gave it to her. But it was cool he got his own shirt.
Was he doing anything differently without Earl Thomas?
Not really. I mean, Seattle's been the same for Seattle's over this 5-year span, 6 years, whatever it is. I mean, they're as good as any defense in the history of the NFL. And they have an extremely sound scheme, very similar to what we do here, and they got very good players, and they always have. I know there's only one Earl Thomas, and it's nice not having him in there, but Steve Terrell has came in and done a great job. He's a guy who can run very fast too. He's always in the middle of the third. He can cover a lot of ground. There's definitely only one Earl, but they still don't change stuff up. I mean, he's got the speed to do a lot of the stuff the same, and there's 10 other guys out there who are very good too, so I see it almost the same.
Personnel groupings and formations, motion, whatever, to prompt them into zone more often than not.
You can do as much as you want, but when it's all said and done, it's probably going to be some type of 3-deep 4-under. I mean, they can mix up those 4 underneath guys however they want, whether they insert a safety into the hooks or whether they insert a linebacker into the hooks. It's going to be 3-deep 4-under, and if it's not, it's probably going to be man coverage, but there's usually going to be a middle third player in the middle of the field. So that's what's tough about this defense, and that's why it's been successful for so many years. They don't have to do much. It's an extremely sound defense. They know their issues, and they work on those issues all the time. They got the right players in the right spots, and that's why it's a grind for everybody who goes against them. You don't get freebies versus defense, and you got to earn everything you get, and every yard matters. And if you can make that one guy miss a tackle, which might only happen a couple times in the game, and you get through that 8-man front, there's only one guy left, and it's Ben Earl. All right, now it's 23, but if you can make that guy miss, there's no one else. So you hope you get that chance. If you get enough calls going and you can get through there one or two times and one of our guys makes that guy miss, that's how you get the big play. That's how you run the ball versus defense. But if you don't get that big one, you're not just going to be running 5 yards a carry every time you hand it off. You're running into a brick wall most of the game, and that's why a lot of people get discouraged and don't run it all the time versus them. But you also don't want to throw it all the time versus these pass rushers either, because I think you guys have seen how that happens. So it's a challenge. Got to try your hardest to stay balanced, and we got to play well, real well.
Last question.
What has impressed you so much about Muhammad's play in the red zone? I mean, obviously, you guys said he was going to be a physical guy, he was going to come here and contribute, but, you know, he's made the most of his opportunities there.
Yeah, the red zone is, I mean, it's so hit or miss. It depends on the coverage. It's not like we just go to the red zone and say it's Muhammad time. It just happens to do with how the coverages go. So sometimes you can be fortunate 1 year and sometimes it doesn't work out the next year. But what I've been most impressed about with Mo throughout the year, you know, he's been one place his whole career. He's came here. It's been different for him, a little bit of our standard, what we ask him to do. And each week he's gotten better. I've been hard on Mo with how we want him to play in and play out. And each week he's gotten better. He's understood how much we work throughout the game, in the run game and in the pass game. And everything we've asked him to do, he's done. And he's, anytime you got a guy who's played somewhere else for a while and then they come, especially when you've had success other places, you do what's worked for you. But Mo, you know, we've asked him to do some things differently, and he's been great to work with in that way. And each game he's gotten better, and I expect him to be better next year than he was this year too.
Hard on him.
We just, I mean, we're like that with all our players. You don't take
you don't
take your thumb off anybody, and they don't take their thumb off me, and we all push each other. And I say probably every day or every time I talk to you guys, you're either getting better or worse. So you can never get complacent in this business. It's good to be a little bit uncomfortable, and we all got to do that to each other.
Last one, Charles.
One follow-up I can on the interview process. I believe weather prevented one team from getting in. I just wondered if there had been provisions made for
– We talked about it when it'll be allowed. You know, weather, they weren't going to get in until late Sunday night. I mean, Saturday night. And, you know, we talked about the possibility of doing it Sunday morning, but – that was our two off days were Friday and Saturday. So Sunday morning wasn't an option for me. And I'm going to go through this week again. I should know, but I haven't asked. I got to see when the rules are, when we would have an extra day. I know we possibly could have 8 days next week. So I really don't know that situation. And it's definitely not something I'm concerned about right now.